Monday morning. We are back after a little 4th of July vacation. Almost all of us are back. Jerry, because he was working all last week, at least took today off. I'm not sure when he'll be back, but Eddie is back from Counter Sport, Pennsylvania. Al is back from his living room. We are back from bouncing around Long Island and beaches and golf courses and all of that great stuff to come back here and scream about baseball teams, because that's what you do in the summer on WFAN, right? You take a little vacation, you enjoy yourself, and then you come back and then you scream about baseball teams that annoy you. And I got in the car and Chris McMonagle's screaming at Yankee fans. Yankee fans are screaming at him, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Here we go. How real is this free fall for the Yankees? And the Mets are just, you know, they're treading water. That's what they're doing. They're just out there treading water like they're learning how to swim. Keep their heads above water, and then maybe they'll have another great run like they did in June. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing all right. And, I guess if you're Aaron Boone, you've been under fire now for about 10 days because of lackadaisical play by your players in the field. And you also, you know, got hammered by Rafael Devers last night. It's easy to say after the fact, because that's what we do. We all sit in judgment after something happens, and people are like, why are you pitching to Rafael Devers? I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, it's like the other team. Are they not going to pitch to Aaron Judge? Of course they're going to pitch to Aaron Judge, and he's going to strike out every now and again with guys on base in important spots. In regards to the Mets, the loss of Edwin Diaz was a killer. It was absolutely a killer. There were games that they could have won. Their bullpen was filled with gas cans. They finally get Diaz back. He gets two saves. It looks like, well, he gets a win last night, but he gets a save before that. And, you know, now all of a sudden, here we are. We're on the cusp of the All-Star break. This is where we are now starting inching closer to the trade deadline, and there's going to be a lot of questions for both of these general managers, and we're going to find out a lot in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and listening to C-Mac drive in, there was one guy who was screaming about Aaron Boone getting fired, and he got to fire Aaron Boone, and you know, C-Mac made this point that we have talked about before, too, many times, which is just so true. When the Yankees are rolling, like they were in the beginning of the season, was there a single person that called up and said, man, we got to give credit to Aaron Boone for what's going on? Not a single person called. It was all Juan Soto and this, and Judge is healthy, and man, look at Luis Gil. Not a single person. Now they go in this free fall, and he needs to be fired in the mind of Yankee fans. Listen, Aaron Boone's been around for a long time now. He doesn't have that much of an impact on the team. I'm sorry to break it to you. There are a couple of managers out there that really have proven that they can turn a team around, or the team plays and represents the personality of that manager. I think when Alex Cora first got there with the Red Sox, that was a big one. I think when Bruce Bochy and the experience that he had, and he goes out to the Texas Rangers and is able to do that, an old school manager. But Aaron Boone's just, he's along for the ride. That's what he is. If the players play well, he's there. He has their back. If they play poorly, he's there, has their back. He gets thrown out of like 5-6 games a year, and that's it. That's all he does.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that when they play lackadaisical, like Trent Grisham did in center field.
No accountability spot?
Well, that I get the sense that Yankee fans want to hear more from their manager, as opposed to the political spin that you hear, in the political realm. And, you know, I always say it's 162 games, guys. It is a long season. And they have to kind of manage all the, you know, the speed bumps and the potholes along the way the best way that they know how. And remember, you know, look, he comes from a long line of baseball people. He knows baseball better than anybody who calls into the station. I guarantee you. He knows more baseball than we know baseball.
Of course.
What people, I think, really, and if some may say it's about changing pitchers or leaving pitchers in too long or yanking a guy out. Remember when Carlos Rodon went like 5 innings, but he gave up 9 runs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a reason that he left Carlos Rodon in.
Because his bullpen needed a blow.
Exactly. So, and Carlos Rodon said, you know what? I've given up 9 runs. I'm getting smoked. I'm going to stay out here, and I'm going to pitch 3 more innings, and I'm going to try to save the bullpen for the next day. And, you know, people are screaming and yelling, why aren't you getting him out? Why aren't you getting him out? Because sometimes certain situations dictate that you act a certain way and you make decisions based on the information that you have on that day in that dugout, dealing with all the tired arms that you may already have. So people don't want to look at that. They don't want to understand that. But they've been, you know, I always say this about football coaches as well. There's so much more that goes into coaching a football team, managing a baseball team, than we could even possibly comprehend. And I remember talking to my friend Frank Reich about this. And I'm like, when you first sat in that Colts seat for the first time as the head coach, what was the one thing that surprised you? He goes, well, I had a person come in and ask me, you know, what do you want the locker room to look like? What kind of carpet do you want? What kind of paint do you want on the walls? Are there any sayings that you want? And he goes, you know, I never really gave that much thought. I never really thought I was going to be involved in it. Oh, and by the way, how do you want to travel? What kind of meals do you want? When do you want to leave? When do you want to return? I mean, the amount of decisions that these managers and coaches end up making is quite a lot. Now, I will say that analytics has creeped into both baseball and football significantly. We know that. And also basketball, for that matter. And those analytics definitely impact the decision-making that is done by the managers and the coaches. So, you know, if you think that Aaron Boone is making out the lineup himself, if you think that Aaron Boone is, you know, making a pitching change because he has it in his gut that he feels like he has to make it, I'm here to tell you that that's not happening. What is happening is that he is going by the numbers. He's going by the book. He's doing everything that however many of those analytic people that they have put together a game plan for the team that they are about to play in a series that they are about to start.
Yeah, I think the one legitimate criticism is the fact that, and we don't see behind the scenes, what we see and we hear, we actually had Jerry and CeeLo and everybody stop playing Aaron Boone sound because we're tired of hearing the same stuff every single day. I guess the one legitimate criticism is, okay, this is all we hear from the manager, is how these guys never do anything wrong and he's just coddles them. And then you see situations like Trent Grisham not running out a ground ball, the many
Glaber playing a one in center field. That was bad.
Right. And then also
looking lazy and then having a double.
Exactly. And then also the many, many examples of Glaber Torres not looking like he's into it. Stuff like that where it's like, okay, if someone is in there that has more accountability, or the players feel like they can't let that guy down because of the culture that he's built within that clubhouse, you know, maybe you get more out of this team. But I mean, that can backfire too. We see it a million times where you got a manager who's even keeled. You bring in a crazy person blows up the clubhouse. You bring in another manager who's even keeled. So, I mean, I don't know if you bring in a guy who is going to trash these guys or hold them accountable in the media or yell in their face that all of a sudden they're going to be a better baseball team.
You know, that's not going to work that way, especially with the amount of money that these players are making nowadays. I mean, all you can hope for is that the money that you give to somebody is going to be reflective of their personality, both on and off the field, and are going to give you 100% effort all the time. That's why, you know, what happened with Volpe at the end of this double play, when he's loafing down third base, like, of all people, you would think that guy would be going 100 miles an hour. You know, we often laugh, and some people do make fun of. I don't, because I do appreciate it. You know, when Brandon Nimmo walks, he hustles down to first base.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is running all the time, 100% of the time, never takes it off, never stops. And some people are busting his chops because he actually does bust his chops on the field, which we should all appreciate. But then when you have what happened with Trent Grisham, what's happened with Gleyber Torres, what happened with Anthony Volpe the other day, you're like, all right, you know, sooner or later, the manager has got to say something. He's got to point these things out. He's got to have a meeting. He's got to have people in that locker room watching the video of what's going on. And then you got to have your captain, who, by the way, is a great player, you know, and he's another one who, after you ask him after, and I said this to you last week, the last week we're here, that when they do interview Aaron Judge, he says the same thing after every game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long season. It's a long season. We know it's a long season. But three of your teammates are dogging it, and you are the captain of the team. So you have to accept some responsibility, and you can't have the Daniel Jones personality. You cannot. Like, you're a captain for a reason, and I'm not saying that Derek Jeter was Newt Rockne or any of that crap. All I'm saying is that Derek Jeter led by example, and I think Aaron does too. But after a while, you have a kind of a symptom of the team that is taking over during this losing that's going on. What are they, like 4-15 in their last 19?
Yeah, I mean, they got the worst record in baseball. Like
since June 15th.
Yeah.
So you look at that, you say, okay, the captain can say something. You know, the captain can go up to Gleyber Torres and say, hey, Gleyber, man, this is not going to cut it.
And maybe they do more than we know.
That could be the possibility.
I mean, maybe Aaron Judge is sitting these guys down. Maybe Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge together are talking. I don't know. But what it comes across to the fans is that there is nobody on this team that is getting in the faces of the players that are dogging it. And it feels like this team is limping to the All-Star break. Like, they cannot wait to get to the All-Star break,
right?
To get a rest.
And they are 3 games out of first place now. Yep. They're going to end this this first half essentially with the Baltimore Orioles. So you'll see them against the Orioles right before they go to the All-Star break. And it's when you spend the amount of money that is being spent on both baseball teams, you want to see effort. You want to see maximum. You want to see guys turning singles into doubles. You want to see guys smart base running. You'd like to see, and this is the one thing that I will say about Aaron Boone. It's okay to bunt. It's okay to bunt to move a guy over. Not everybody has to be swinging for the fences. And unless they have an organizational decision, which may be the case, where they sit in these boardrooms or they sit in the manager's office, and Brian Cashman and him go over, look, we don't want to bunt. We're not a bunting team, and bunting doesn't always help. And I'm not saying that bunting is the end-all be-all, but there are games in which, you know, you can't seem to score a run. So somehow you have to manufacture a run.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's where maybe the manager does come in. That's where the manager says, you know, I'm pulling the plug on all the analytics, and I'm going to try to play the game where I can get a run, where I can get something going, where I can start a rally and maybe do that, you know, late in the game. You know, you're up 2-1, you got a man on second, and you got no outs, and you got your eighth hitter up. Why not bunt him to third base? Why have that eighth hitter trying to, you know, hit a home run or bring in a guy from first base with a double or something? Why not just bunt them over? Why not do that? So I can get the frustration, especially from the older fan. Maybe the younger fan doesn't feel the same way. The older fan sees it that way sometimes because that's how we grew up with baseball, when baseball was, you know, it really was owned by the pitchers, and you just manufactured runs different ways. And maybe that's part of the frustration also with Aaron Boone and the reluctance to go down that path when needed.
Yeah, if you are one of these fans that wants change with the Yankees and has been screaming about change for the Yankees, it almost feels like something truly catastrophic has to happen. Whereas they completely fall out of the playoff race, or they end up in the one game wild card and, you know, they end up out of that, or, you know, something just ugly, you know, happens. Because you saw them in 2022, and they were the best team in baseball early on. We were comparing them to the 98 Yankees start. They fall apart, but they had such a big lead, so they hung on. They barely beat the Guardians, get swept by the Astros, and Brian Cashman and everybody were in the Yankee organization saying, we're in the ALCS. Okay, you're on your way to being the best team in baseball, and you got smacked around by your big rival that you can never beat again. Then the next year, they miss the playoffs. So they come back here, and they get off to this great start, and they're sliding and they're sliding and they're sliding. But if they end up making the playoffs, I don't know, maybe winning a couple of playoff games, they don't get embarrassed and wiped away, and they're fighting, and then Brian Cashman comes out and goes, hey, you know, we made the playoffs again, and look, we won X amount of games. They're going to do the same thing again. They're going to come back with Brian Cashman. They're going to come back with Aaron Boone. They're going to try to sign Juan Soto. And they're going to be sitting here talking about the same stuff again next year. I mean, we always talk about continuity. The Yankees are the top example of continuity. They never change anything when it comes to management. I mean, it's the Girardi thing was a little nuts when it happened. But, like, Brian Cashman's been the general manager since like 1955.
Dude, I've been here since for 18 years. And there's not been much change. There hasn't. Just a manager, maybe. Maybe they bring in a player or two here or there. They bring in Gerrit Cole. They spend the money. They spend the money on bringing in Juan Soto, Stanton. You know, we can go down the list. I mean, it's just, you just want to knock yourself out over the head. But, you know, getting swept at home by the Reds. I mean, you know, that is, and looking lackadaisical and having plays not made because of players doing things that are less than hustle. They just look lazy. They look bad. They look disjointed. They look disinterested. Unfortunately, that is what the manager is going to feel. I don't look. It is a long, long season. I wish I could sit here and say that I would have the magic wand to give to Aaron Boone and say, go have a meeting. Go do this. Maybe what I would do is I'd say, okay, guys, we're going to sit down and we're all going to watch this. And we're going to ask ourselves, is this acceptable baseball play? And I don't care if you play for the Yankees or you play for the White Sox. The fact is, you are a professional baseball player. You're getting paid a lot of money and there's a lot of adulation being thrown your way. You're getting taken care of. You travel first class. You eat first class. Everything is first class. So now it's up to you to give me back the respect that the game deserves. The game deserves the respect. It's not just me as the manager. You owe it to the game that has given you so much. And, you know, you owe it to those fans that are paying, you know, $85 a ticket, $200 a ticket, spending $400 a day, drinking beer and eating food and all of this other crap. And, you know, for you to do this on our home field, the hallowed ground that is Yankee Stadium with Monument Park behind you, is an absolute unmitigated disgrace. And that's the way you have to sometimes present it to the players. And if I were Aaron Boone, I would do that. And I would stop sitting up there and saying, well, you know, this Trent Grisham, you know, this is the way he plays. This is the way it works. And, you know, Glaber's struggling. He's got a groin injury. Well, then get him the F off the field. Don't let him make you look bad, make the team look bad, and make the Yankees look bad. That's how I would do it. And then if I end up getting fired because they tune me out because I'm trying to tell them, this is what you owe your fan base, and this is what the expectations we are that we have for you, and we also pay you a crap load of money. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, you sometimes have to play this out in front of everybody. And sometimes embarrassing some people, you know what's amazing to me? And I remember hearing this when I was playing, and I still hear it today. Like, they called the NBA a grown man's league. Like, they were calling the WNBA about Caitlin Clark. This is a grown women's league. Yeah, and Caitlin Clark can throw up a triple-double first ever as a rookie against the Liberty. Now, you could see that she's finally figured out how to play in this league with these grown women. And I hear about grown men acting like children. And I would, if I were Aaron Boone, I would get all these cuts and I would show them to these players and I would say, look, guys, this is un-goddamn acceptable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Un-goddamn acceptable.
I'm telling you. And I want to point it out. And then I would pull in Aaron Judge, and I said, look, Aaron, you're a great player. Everybody loves you around here. You are the captain of the New York Yankees. You know what? Thurman Munson ain't standing for this. I want you not to stand for any of this. What are you laughing at?
Thurman Munson's not standing for
not
this?
Not standing for this.
That's what you want Aaron Boone to say, Judge?
I want Aaron Judge to start taking ownership.
Okay.
And I want him to go over to Trent Grisham, to Anthony Volpe.
Oh, no.
And I want him to go over.
No. I'm not this stance of yours.
And I want him to go over, and I want him to say to Gleyber Torres.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
Listen to me! Run your ass off! You hear me?
Got it, Skip.
You owe it to the fans! You owe it to the team! You owe it to Monument Park! Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Skip. I understand. I'm sorry, Skip.
One more time!
I'm sorry.
Your ass is on the bench.
Got it, Skip.
And if you don't like it, you're going back down to the minors. You hear me?
Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. As Boomer sits down after that in his purple shorts.
Do you like these shorts?
I do. But when you're screaming at me, I'm like, man, purple shorts and this speech don't exactly match. But it's all good. It's all good. You spit on my face a couple times there.
Well, listen, that's a one-eyed conversation. That's where I'm so close to you that you can only see me out of one eye.
I'm going to start calling you the Haktua man because you were just spraying all over my face.